Why, yes, that is the Charlie Brown theme song, and you are listening to the Rusted Culture Radio Show, and I'll tell you in a second why we're playing that. Well, we're playing that to lead in today's rant or show, if you'd like to call it that, because I see Donald Trump in one of the Peanuts characters. Which one of the characters do you think it is? Which one of the Peanuts characters could it be? Well, that was a great rendition. It was a little bit of a variation of the Charlie Brown theme song, and that was played by the Vince Guaraldi Trio. The Vince Guaraldi Trio. Which one could it be? You know which one I'm thinking of, folks? It's the one with the blanket. What's his name? Linus. That was it. Linus. That's who I'm thinking of. The one with the blanket. The security blanket. Who do you think I'm thinking of here now? Donald Trump? I'm thinking it's very close to Linus. That's the deal here, I think. Well, you know, folks, as you probably know, Donald Trump is here to stay. I don't really dislike the guy. I mean, that much. A little bit, sometimes. He's here to stay, and for the next 4 years, or maybe a little bit less if he gets impeached. Maybe a little less. We're going to have to sit here and just grin and bear it. And I'm willing to give Donald a chance, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be all smiles and chuckles about this little trip here. But, you know, having said that anyway, the guy, Donald Trump, is insecure here, folks, and a lot like Linus, a lot. Can you drop the blanket here, Donald? I mean, you haven't given a press conference for over 5 months, I think it's six, and all we get is dribble from your security blanket, also known as Twitter. Drop the blanket, please. I mean, it's endless. I mean, it's time to stand in front of the media, stiffen up, stand in front of the medium and give a press conference and stop choking up and squeezing out these tweets. Please. No more. Please stop squeezing the tweets out. You know, like the one today, for example, folks, you know, Donald thanked himself for a CPI number. He literally thanked himself in the tweet for the CPI number that was positive. I mean, come on, man. The CPI has been trending higher under Obama for months. Good God. You know, Kellyanne Conway hasn't whispered this in your ear yet, Donald, but here's the deal. If you take credit for the good stuff today, before being even sworn in, you're going to have to take credit for the crap when it comes, and it's going to come. Things like the stock market falls 1,000 points over a trade war tweet that you put out. Donald, you own it. The stock market falls 800 points because you tweet a nuclear trigger if somebody does this or that, whatever, I'm speculating here. You're going to own that too. I mean, it's time to drop the security blanket, Linus, and do a little contemplating before you're tweeting. I know Twitter's all about having the last word, you know, you like that, you got the last word, drop it. You know, we're all over it here. I mean, it's time to really meet the press here. Take the hard questions and think about some really, really great thoughtful answers. Consult your 1% cabinet and let's hear some really, really good detailed answers. And you know, Donald, I think while you're in that press conference, I'd like to hear some details on the fate of America's healthcare, really. I mean, it's about time here. And you know, I'd like to hear a little bit more about the battle that your administration has picked to tear it all apart and then replace it at the end of it with something really, really great and to be determined. You know, and allow me here on the Rusted Culture Show to shed some light on what people like Paul Ryan would like to do with healthcare. And it's pretty grim, folks. To put it bluntly, Paul Ryan and Donald, I have to throw you in this batch of, I mean, it's your voodoo economics. Paul Ryan and you want to enrich the rich by lowering their taxes and basically giving the rich a subsidy or entitlement, if you will, while on the other hand, stripping away health care from the poor, taking away Medicaid, and stopping subsidies for the middle class. You know, currently the middle class gets a subsidy if they purchase on the marketplace. And we're going to be kissing that bye-bye here shortly. All the while, you know, with the middle class and raising their insurance rates, or by introducing what I call heart attack insurance with $10,000 deductibles, which is really not like having insurance at all. I mean, watch and listen, folks, here. Paul Ryan is leading the charge to enrich the rich and crush the poor. And the middle class is going to get trampled right along with it. Tom Price, Donald Trump's choice for Secretary of Health and Human Services, is pledging to do just that as well. In not so many words. It's all thinly veiled. What we will see, though, is a systematic and methodical approach to making the rich richer and the middle class and the poor poorer. And in talking about the poor, Tom Price is going to move lockstep with Ryan to gut Medicaid with what he calls block grants. And that's only going to cover a fraction of the poor that are covered today with health insurance. These block grants are just chunks of money that they're going to push out to the states and let the states decide who gets the insurance. And sorry, you know, millions probably aren't going to be covered as a result of the block grant not being as much money as they get today. So the states are going to be in the business of saying, sorry, Charlie, no insurance for you. Now, the Republican option to covering the poor is to push them all into emergency rooms. Just go to an emergency room if you need help. And, you know, there's nothing about preventative care. It's always been about if they need care, they can always go to an emergency room. That's what I've always heard from the Republican side. That is not a solution. If you're having a heart attack, just to go to the emergency room, that is not insurance, and it's not a solution that's going to work. And by the way, if you're lucky enough to own a card that gets you to that hospital or to that crappy sub $10 an hour job that you have, you're probably going to lose that card, because when the hospital comes knocking on your door to get paid, folks, they're going to be looking at your assets. And if that's an asset, it's going to help pay for your care. And that's the Republican plan right there in a nutshell. Just go to the emergency room. And folks, like I said, it's not healthcare. It's a systematic, methodical, slow genocide of the poor. Well, our old friend here, Paul Ryan and Tom Price, are going to embrace what is essentially this slow, methodical genocide of the poor by removing insurance that exists today. All the same time, while cutting taxes for the wealthy and the biggest subsidy of the rich the world has ever seen. They get tax cuts, they get richer, you get less. And when you give that overdue press conference here, Donald, let's talk about that one, okay? I'd like to hear you ramble on about that for a little bit. Now, folks, don't let them take the gains in healthcare by what they call repeal and replace. Fix what we have, for God's sakes. You know what? Call it Trump care. If it makes everyone feel better, call it Trump care. I don't care. Just don't repeal it, replace it, which is essentially taking it away. Well, Ryan and Price are trying. They're trying real hard to ram this repeal and replace through before people know what's hit them. It's one of the first things they want to do when Trump gets into office. They claim it's what America wants. I'm so sick of hearing that. This repeal and replace, and replace it with what? They don't even know. To be determined, something really, really great. They claim that getting rid of this, it's what America wants. But I'll tell you, it's not. That is a lie. In a recent Kaiser Family Foundation, in a nonpartisan poll, they found that only 25% want the Affordable Care Act repealed. Only 25%. Doesn't sound like a big mandate. I mean, fix it is an approach. It's a very pragmatic approach, and it's what most Americans feel that they want right now, not repeal and replace. And, you know, Paul Ryan also wants to gut Medicare if, you know, if that's not enough. He wants to replace that with a check from the government that only covers a tiny portion of your health care. That's a solution? You know, if what makes it really bad to me is the fact that they're cutting taxes at the same time for the rich. That's what makes it very distasteful. I mean, this has got to end. You know what? In that 6-month overdue press conference, Donald, you know, let's talk about how your voodoo economics works to make the rich richer and strip health care from the rest of us. We want to hear about it. You know what? If you feel as strongly as I do, obviously, about this, you know, give old Paul Ryan a call up there in Washington. Give him a call at 1-888-909-RYAN. That's 1-888-909-RYAN. And tell him to stop gutting your health care with repeal and replace. Fix it. Fix what you got. America, you got to wake up and open your eyes. The 1% is going to be in power here shortly, and it's all going to favor the rich. Less regulation for Wall Street, less regulation on the air we breathe, all favors the rich. It all favors the rich. And you better get used to it here, America, or you're going to have to stand up and do something about it. If you're a doormat, the rich are going to walk right in and wipe their feet on you. It's time to get vocal before it's too late. Now, we've got another ramble, the last part of the ramble coming up here, but I'll be back in just a second. Let's listen to a second or two of this Charlie Brown, which I love. I just love this. Linus, the blanket, the Twitter, put it down, Donald. Well, the last ramble that I'd like to cover is the impending train wreck that we have here. The two trains are on the track between Donald and the Russians. Now, a little bit of background here. Donald Trump here has been very effective, working real hard, selling real estate in New York and Miami to the Russians in great numbers. In fact, the business of selling real estate to the Russians, it's so lucrative, so darn lucrative, I think it's affecting the source and is the source of the friendship that he shares with Putin. You know, I don't know the numbers that we're talking about here. I know some people are saying you don't even know what the numbers are. Well, I don't know, because Donald has not released anything like taxes or any other documents that shed light on his finances, for God's sakes. Or shed light on any conflicts of interest, for God's sakes. But I can tell you the numbers are real and the numbers are significant. So really, what's the train wreck about, you know, and what's going to happen? Well, the main thing of it here is that Russia is going to prove to be a very fickle dance partner with Trump, and in that they've been extremely crafty, real crafty folks over there with cyber war and the new alliances in the Mideast. And I have to tell you by way of information here that the economy, the Russian economy might be small. It's just above the economy of Australia in terms of gross domestic product. You know, for such a large landmass, I mean, look at the map, Russia's huge. For such a large landmass, that's a very small GDP. In fact, it's about number 12 in the world, number 12 on the list. You know, recently we've heard all about their cyber intrusions that, you know, Russia's been up to with the election and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, by the same stroke of that, Russia's been putting together some very strong alliances with the likes of Syria and Iran in the Middle East. The Russians are basically trying to meddle and realign the balance of power in the Mideast against the U.S., Israel, and Saudi Arabia. And they're doing this all in favor of their newfound power here. This new alliance is, they're striking stronger alliances that are going to be problematic. So the train wreck for Donald is the U.S. support for Israel, you know, the very strong support that the U.S. has, and I believe that we should have for Israel. And, you know, and then contrast that with Russia's hand in supporting countries that absolutely hate and want to annihilate Israel. So we're on opposite sides of the fence here, folks. I mean, as friendly as we want to be, let's face it, we're on opposite sides of the fence at this point with Russia. We need to be friendly, but with a lot of restraint. But, you know, a lot of people come back to me and they say, well, the UN vote, you know, what about that? That UN vote that we just had, that's a travesty and an outrage. That's terrible. Well, the U.S. is always going to support Israel, but Israel needs to get the fact that continued West Bank expansion doesn't help the two-state Palestinian-Israel solution. You know, have you ever yelled at an unruly kid? Of course you have. You know, stupid question. Yes, you have yelled at an unruly kid. If he's not your own, it's, you know, pick one. That's what the U.S. just did here in the resolution. It's a non-binding resolution. And the U.S. sent a message. You know, this is problematic to a two-state solution when you keep expanding on the West Bank. Do we still love Israel? Yes. Will we support them? Absolutely. But, you know, folks, the train is on the tracks with U.S. versus Russia, and it's only a matter of time that Trump will have to deal with the crash, and the honeymoon with Putin is going to be over very shortly. I really think that the Russians, obviously, as a people, are fine, great people, but really, I mean, can you trust Putin? I mean, is it even worth asking? Can you trust the guy? Well, I want to thank you for listening to the Rusted Culture Show. And as always, if you have any comment or any question that you might have, you can send that to me to rustedcultureradar@gmail.com. And stay tuned in the weeks ahead here for more friendly banter on our 1% governance. Until then, here's to you, Linus.